mystical journey with Immortal Master Almin and discover within you the power of self-reliance.
Four directions, or is it but a remnant of tribal philosophy and life. The four directions are none of these things. They are, in fact, the qualities of the four great building blocks of creation: space, time, energy, and matter. Within the cosmos, these four building blocks are represented by four great frequency bands, two lying within what is known as the infinite, that which birthed the cosmos, and two lying within the cosmos. It is from the qualities of these great bands of compassion, as they are called, that the four directions stem. All beings are representative in their nature of one of these directions. Man is most unique in that we are the microcosm of the macrocosm, and within us the four directions lie in the form of qualities within. It is in these qualities that balance lies, and balance is the key to self-reliance and emotional sovereignty. What within us constitutes the South, the West, the East, and the North, within our emotional components, within our psyche? We have been blessed in that an entire family exists within us. For within us is that which is also without. What is our true identity within this vastness of the cosmos? It is a being as vast as the cosmos, having a human experience. Each perspective completely unique. We therefore relate to the infinite, to the cosmos itself, much the same way as our inner components relate to us. They are a unique perspective. Each member of our internal family, not separate, nor without, simply a unique perspective, yearning for expression in our life and offering their specific gifts and guidance. Within the South is the inner nurturer. It is never too late to have a great childhood, no matter what experiences might have marred our own childhood. That inner child still exists. In fact, he or she is about 5 years old and is placed in the West, the domain of the child. If we get to know our nurturer in the South, that nurturer will parent this child, giving it hope, giving it comfort, giving it a place where it can be rocked to sleep, where its fears can be stilled, and it can be told when it is time to play and when it is time for the other sub-personalities to run your life. Their inner your parent or nurturer is responsible for making sure that the needs of the entire family are met. The inner child in the West, the inner sage or elder in the East, and the warrior in the North. The inner nurturer will tell the child, even though right now you wish to play, you do not understand why life has to be so serious. But it's not practical right now. But after work, we will take a ride on our bike. We will take a stroll through the forest. We will skip stones on the pond. We will lie on the grass and see the shapes of the clouds. All promises to the inner child must be kept, or trust cannot develop between this inner family. The inner nurturer has to tell the inner warrior, it is time to lay your sword down. Put your feet up. Well done. The battle has been well fought. It is time for you to rest. And so also, when the elder has guided its family with its highest wisdom, piercing the illusion to find what lies behind the appearances, what is really going on, the nurturer will advise it to rest. When the nurturer becomes dysfunctional, often the case, when we find that we have had very strict and judgmental parents, our inner nurturer, too, can become judgmental, thinking that this is the way to parent. But it is not for the nurturer to tell the child or any of the other subpersonalities when they are out of line. That is done by the one who creates the strategy, the inner warrior, guided by the wisdom of the inner elder. The functional nurturer only loves, only gives. And as we look at our inner child, the inner child that is happy and balanced creates spontaneity, innocence, the wonder of what next. The happy and balanced child, knowing that it is loved, communicated with, and properly parented by the inner nurturer, becomes a source of great awareness. For the eyes of a child sees in the moment. It sees that the very thorn bush by the side of the road is aflame with the glory of God. It wonders at the passings of the day and night. It hears the sounds of birdsong, even where others don't. Without the inner child expressing and happy and content, our lives become barren. We lose our joy. We lose the ability to have fun. But when the inner child is needy, it looks to the outside for that which its inner family does not provide. It becomes needy in relationships. It tries to cling and control. It behaves dysfunctionally when it should be joyous. And it seeks for a parent where there is none. to be done by its own family. And now we take a look at the inner sage, the inner elder, the grandfather of the family. When the grandfather is functional, it sees what is really going on behind the appearances. It listens to the input of the nurturer and the child. For their input is not cognitive. And most of the cosmos cannot be accessed through left brain-oriented cognition. If it is wise, it heeds well the dreams of the nurturer, the feelings of the child. And it sees behind the appearances. And with this wisdom, it brings a conclusion. What is that which underlies the appearances? What is that that hides behind the face value? Gives guidance to the child and to the nurturer when it sees within its own family that behind the appearances all is not well. When the nurturer becomes judgmental and harsh, the elder can tell that nurturer it is time to love inclusively. Occurs when the grandfather of the family becomes dysfunctional, when the sage forgets that its task is to discern, not to judge. Judgment. This word is bandied about by many, but is it really understood? Judgment is when conclusions are made, when there is not enough information to make them. Judgment can also be when there is enough information to reach a conclusion, but we have a knee-jerk emotional reaction, the result of attaching value to the innocence of experience. Value of this is good and this is bad is not life enhancing. For within the cosmos, if we see with the true eyes of God, we shall see only innocence. We are actors upon the stage of life. The play has been designed to bring certain insights. At times, some play the villains, and at other times they play the heroes. Do we not feel gratitude for those that play the undeveloped light? For in truth, if they did not, we would have to. We would have to forfeit joy and love and laughter, so steeped in illusion that only rage can make us feel alive. If our elder forgets that the only task he has to perform is to discern what is life enhancing and what is not, the only choice in the entire cosmos. But instead, judges one thing over the other, the family will lose their way. The inner warrior has as its task the defense defending of our boundaries and the eliminating within the family of anything that is not supportive of self-empowerment. The inner warrior's task is to root out any thought that denies us the promise of God that we are heirs to the kingdom. The inner warrior guards our boundaries, protecting his family. When he becomes dysfunctional, however, he fights outside circumstances, forgetting that one empowers that which you focus on, and one strengthens that which you oppose. But in any relationship, there are mutual gifts. Anyone that comes before one brings the gift, and one has to ask, what is the gift I have to give this one? So too in the relationship with the sub-personalities, our inner family. For when they speak within, when they are happy and whole, and each one has time to be heard, time to express, they give incredible gifts in our life. We give them the gift of acknowledgement and expression, and they give us the gifts of discernment. Self-reliance is comprised of two key components. The first being emotional self-reliance, the ability to be alone in complete harmony and peace. This inner family we all have is the key to this. As they speak one to another, as they function and express fully, we find we have a balance in our life, that we are never alone. The effect of such a balance is great joy. But the other part is that there has to be sovereignty or self-reliance in our ability to receive guidance about our lives. The multitudes flock to anyone who will tell them how to be, how to live, how to function. Have they forgotten who they are? Each of us a being as vast as the cosmos. All information is ours. All information is at our fingertips. If we but know the tools of discernment, this too is a gift that is given by the sub-personalities within, each one distinct, each one unique, each one a consciousness superimposed over the vastness of all that we are, exactly the same way we are to the infinite. The inner nurturer and the inner child have the sacred tools of discernment that can discern the unknown, that can delve into that which the cognitive mind cannot access. In other words, in the South and the West, nurturer and the inner child have the tools to go beyond the confines of mind, to non-cognitively access information. information that lies beyond the realms of our usual thinking and reasoning processes. 9/10 of what can be known by mind is said by the ancient seers to be unknown. Only 1/10 falls within the realm of the known. The tools of the known are kept by the elder in the east and the warrior in the north. These are tools that can rationalize, strategize, analyze, that can see behind the appearances, that can complete the puzzle even when pictures are not fully formed because pieces of the puzzle are missing, that can design strategy based on that picture because it can deduce. These are cognitive skills, and they are wielded by the elder, with the sage, and the warrior. In the south, the inner nurturer has a tool that most only can begin to scratch the surface of. It is the tool of dreaming. Dreaming is any state of being that puts us in an altered or expanded perception. Dreaming, therefore, is meditation. Dreaming comes from the symbols that are given during our sleep. Dreaming is also the ability to place ourselves in and out of expanded or altered states of awareness, even in our everyday tasks. We have said that our consciousness spans all of existence. Seers use a roadmap, like a large spider web of light that goes across the cosmos. When the seer is in full expansion, no longer identifying with ego or the body, he or she has moved all the way to the outer edges. When that seer has to relate to another, the awareness is withdrawn to the very center of the spider web. But masters learn, and you can too, to go slightly out on the spider web in order to have an altered perception, and then withdraw back again. Such a maneuver can take but a minute, half a minute even, but can give you a perspective that accesses the unknown portions of that which you are experiencing. Or a question can be asked. Deep meditative states can be entered into. And when you leave those states of awareness, somehow the answer finds its way into your mind a lot easier. Unawares, non-cognitively, it has been accessed. But now, 1/3 of our life is spent dreaming, sleeping. Because of the way energy is squandered in our world, as though it has no value, consciousness is lower. We can define consciousness as how much we can access once. Learning and practicing these tools of discernment enhances consciousness because it enhances our ability to access more of life at once. But energy is required to access more. All initial energy is used by the left brain. As we learn to live with silence within our mind, there is more available for the right brain, which accesses 9/10 of what we can know. Thus, if we conserve energy in our life, if we do not permit others to drain our energy by trying to pacify or placate the appearances, the unreal, the games that people play, more access is available to start to remember our dreams. If we record these dreams immediately and we develop a dream language, a language that is meaningful to us, what does color mean to you? Red. Is it the desire to fight? Is it the need to be assertive? Yellow. Does it stand for transmuting to higher states of consciousness? Praise. If you have a language that the non-cognitive areas of your life, sub-personalities of the nurturer and the child, can use to communicate during sleep, then the elder can interpret them. As we become aware of how important our dreams are in expressing to us what our next step is, for the warrior against illusion seeks clarity, wanting to know what is the right way to go, what is the next step to take. The dreams can help enormously, and thus the nurturer can contribute through all these methods of dreaming, altered perception. The inner child, on the other hand, knows feeling. We differentiate at this time between feeling as a non-cognitive method of getting information. We all know when something feels great, and we know that we have just lived our highest truth. Emotion, on the other hand, is based on desire. Feeling as a non-cognitive way for us to know is the gift of our child. It feels when something is not right, when it wants to shy away from a person, even though on the surface everything may seem in order. The child will know when it's not. The child's sadness will tell us when the spontaneity has gone out of its life, when the innocence is lost. And what is innocence? A child lives fully in the moment. That is innocence. For many of us, the only time we are fully present in the moment is when we have entered deep meditational states. But meditation as a practice is like the finger pointing at the moon. It was never meant to be the goal. It was but pointing to the actual goal, which is the moon. Meditation was meant to show us how to live. Living in eternal time. Living with full attention to the now. Living without resistance to life is living in innocence in the moment. The feelings of the child, may we follow them, that no longer do we need to pull in painful circumstances to guide us in the right direction, to show us where change is needed. The whisperings of spirit through the dreams of the nurturer, through the feelings of the child, creates a graceful dance with life. We have become masters through their assistance. The elder sees behind the appearances. The sage knows that the appearances lie, that they deceive, and that what is really unfolding through the evolution of awareness lies hidden behind form. If someone were to slap us, sage would say, "Where did I injure someone this day?" And would find that with harsh words, the emotional slap was the equivalent of what we have just received. That it is but a symbol, that we might understand the power of our words. As we start to see symbolico, growth is rapid. Many truth seekers have found that as their growth accelerates, like the eagle flying on the higher thermals, we leave the flocks behind, struggling against the winds, opposing life. They circle round and round near the ground. But like the eagle, we ride the wind. Opposition has no longer become our enemy, something to fight. But it has become the wind beneath our wings. In seeing behind the appearances, and in full cooperation with life, every opposition is welcomed, embraced, and opposition loses its power over us and becomes our ally. But what are we to do as the accelerated growth causes a new, unfamiliar loneliness? We are not alone. We are with a family, loving, ever-present, and within. In analyzing what lies behind the appearances, the inner sage provides that information to the inner warrior, that a strategy for the family's safety, well-being, and growth can be developed. All the pieces of the puzzle may be discernible at this point. In the north, just like in the the south, its opposite pole, the warrior creates a different perspective in order to see the bigger picture. We shall call it ego vision. Like the ego floating high above the ground, that can see for miles and miles beyond the sight of the other birds, the warrior rises above the occasion, stands aside from the battle, even while in the midst of it, creating a perspective of objective, larger vision. The warrior knows that in the battles of life, all are equal. For all are innocently participating on the stage of life, that the infinite might learn, that the one expressing as the many might know more about its being. And thus, standing objectively aside, even as the warrior lays down its boundaries firmly, even when in battle, ensures that the outcome of the battle will benefit all equally. For that is the criteria of impeccable warriorship. In the play of life, no one person is more important than another. No one life holds more significance. The sage is the same as the fool, for the one is the perception getter, and the other is the perception giver. And both are needed in turning the unknown into the known, which is growth. In the equation of the cosmos, every single creature plays its part in the evolution of awareness. Every single one has an equal contribution. The subpersonalities within man are also within the kingdoms of the earth, the races of the earth. Within the kingdom of humans, the races play their own part in giving their unique perspective according to the subpersonalities. Within the south are the races of the far east, the inner nurturers. Within the west are the races of Africa, the inner child. Within the east are the other indigenous peoples, the inner sage or elders. And in the north, the white races play the inner warrior. We can see what happens when these races become dysfunctional, when they overly focus on the body, when their emotions run wild, when they use their elder skills to hurt and harm, when they conquer instead of protect. The kingdoms on earth are not just that which can be seen, but other kingdoms as well in the unseen realms. They too form subpersonalities with man, and in that instance, man is in the south as the nurturers. Angelic realms form the west. The ascended masters of all realms, for example, would form the east, and so on. And this echoes throughout the entire cosmos, where races of various star systems fall within these sub-personalities within the cosmos, representing each one a unique way of accessing, through their experience, information from which the one expressing as the many can grow. The reason for our experience is to gain knowledge about the mystery of beingness. It is for this that we have been formed. It is for this that we came to the densest levels of existence, where the known meets the unknown, where light meets dark. For it is here that all true new knowledge is gained through our experience. It is therefore our interaction with others that prove to be the most valuable tool in turning the unknown into the known through experience. When a master withdraws from interacting with others, the master is forsaking his or her contract with the infinite to observe in the mirrors of our relationships that which we have come to solve, that part of the mystery that is our destiny. Our relationships are the mirrors of that which we are, that which we have yet to become, that which we have lost, or that which we judge. The relationships can give their benefit only when we are in sovereignty, when our family within is our first level of support, when we are in joy because we are in a passionate and fulfilling relationship with ourselves. Any other relationship therefore becomes something that enhances our state of well-being we have already accomplished. In other words, a relationship with another becomes a preference and not a need, an enhancement, not a substitute. Our first relationship is a self-reliant one with ourselves, with our family within. No longer are we attracted to dysfunctional partners, friends, lovers. If we are whole inside, we will attract that which is whole. If we are needy, we will attract those who wish to control, because they themselves are needy. Within the masses that are asleep, that do not live self-examined lives, nor strive to learn from experience, there is a triangle of relationship that is lived over and over again, called codependence, like a treadmill. The first leg of this triangle adores, gives, often too much, is ready to worship, or love, as it is called. But then the second leg of the triangle demands that because it has given so much, in fact, more than it wanted to, it gets to control. The control might be subtle, or it might be overt. One way or the other, the loved one is there. Leg three of this triangle is outraged when control is no longer able to be applied, demanding why the other has let him or her down. The rage of this third leg often takes the unsuspecting partner by surprise, but it is the result of multiple previous times of finding ourselves unable to control a loved one and feeling somehow that the other one is not playing the game. If both partners are in codependence, oftentimes they keep each other in this triangle, stuck and reliant. They both give, but both have their areas of control mapped out within the relationship. And unless one or the other grows, this dependency could persist for years. In dependency, we seek sameness. Dependency is the opposite of self-reliance. We are completely reliant on one another. We seek partners or relationships that mirror that which we are. In the next stage of development, we find that there is codependence, that we wish to find in the other that which is different, but then we wish to make it the same. Missionaries go to Africa to convert the indigenous peoples to their way of life, to make them the same so that they can be acceptable. In the third stage of relationship development, we act independently. Having played the other games enough times that we have found that they turn to ashes in our mouth, we now seek to be independent, but find that there is not enough growth. There are not enough mirrors, and we also find that we are alone. And thus, we find in our loneliness the need to create a higher order within our relationship, the order of self-reliance. And whereas it has now gone from dependence codependence to independence, it now will be a relationship with another that is interdependent. We will seek no longer for uniformity, to be in our comfort zone. We will no longer just be happy with diversity when we are independent. We will seek unity within diversity. We will support each other to become all that we can be, for we ourselves are free. How can we bind another? For being self-reliant, emotionally sovereign, we no longer wish the other to be enslaved by our relationships. We want them too to fly free, for that is where growth lies. But the unity we have is the unity of perception. We now seek others that see as we do, but have the vast perspective of our beings, as vast as this cosmos, a perspective superimposed over all that is. And there are two eagles flying upon the higher thermals. Rare indeed, but free. May we become all that we can be. May we break free from the fetters of the expectations of others, of the unmet needs within that makes us want to pacify and control. May we reflect the royal heritage from which we came, for we are truly the arrows sent forth from the bow of the infinite to pierce the illusion, to light a flame within the dark. As the one expressing as the many, the divinity that flows through all life burns strongly within our hearts. When we throw off the shackles any might put around us, when we fly free through the sun, remembering who we are, we become a pivot point for the cosmos. And as our lives change to lives of sovereignty, of majesty, of holiness and balance, all the cosmos pivots with us.